Hello, this is Pastor Brandon Fender, and I'd like to welcome you to another transforming message from right here at Living Way Church. I believe that your life will be impacted by the words you hear today. For more faith-based content, check us out on all social media outlets. Now let's go live into the message.
Ephesians chapter 6, verse 11. This is our third in the series, Uncovered. Somebody say, I'm covered by the blood. Say, I'm anointed. I'm appointed. I'm ready. I'm willing. In Jesus' name. Ephesians chapter 6, verse 11, this is what it says. Put on all of God's armor, all of God's armor, so that you will be able to stand firm against all the strategies of the devil. When you put all of God's armor on, you will be able to stand in every season of life. You'll be able to stand no matter what comes against you. You will be able to stand in the good moments, but also in the moments that you are under attack. God said, I've got armor for that, and you'll be able to stand firm. This is our third of the series, Uncovered. One more time, turn to your neighbor and tell him, I've got you covered. God's got me covered, so we're in good shape. Praise God. You may be seated. If you'd like the recap, you can jump online. The podcast, livingwaychurch.net. We're getting ready, actually, to expand our podcast footprint. Of course, podcast is free. Apple Podcasts, Spotify, all of those things. We're getting ready to launch out into some new places like Spotify so that you can get this word anytime that you want it. But if you'd like the first two, you can go back and listen to those. But I want to jump in to some new material from the get-go tonight. Everyone in this room needs covering. Every believer needs covering. If you're watching online tonight, you need covering. Covering, first and foremost, you need to be covered by God. The church can cover you. Pastoral team and pastors and mentors, accountability can cover you. But there is no covering like a covering that comes from God. And if you have a mentor or a church that covers, realize that they're covering you by the power that God has given them. So it's still a God covering. But there are three types of people in this world, or we could say it like this, everybody in this room will fall under one of these three categories. You are either uncovered, which means you are just out there as a sitting target for the enemy. That there is nothing between you and the enemy's tricks and strategies and weapons. And so when he takes a shot at you, he's going to hit you every time. You don't want to be uncovered. The second group is those that are covered by the wrong thing. I think sometimes being covered by the wrong thing is worse than being uncovered because it lulls you into a false sense of security where you think you're covered, but you're really not. I've seen people, because I like watching those judge shows, I've seen people who had car accidents that thought they were covered but found out that they had lapsed the week before, the day before, and they found out that they were no longer under the umbrella of coverage that their insurance provided just days before. I want to encourage you tonight, if you're sitting in this room, make sure that before you leave this building, you are covered. Make sure that God's hand is on your life. Make sure that God's grace is on your life. Make sure that his blood is flowing fresh. Make sure that you've got a fresh dose of anointing, because even if you if this is your first maybe a month or two after salvation, the covering of God is so vital for your growth and development. But I want to talk to those of you that have been living and walking for God or with God for a long time. You need to make sure that your covering is growing as you grow. It's just like you cannot wear the shirt that you wore when you were in kindergarten. And maybe if you're like me, you can't wear the shirt that you wore 3 years ago. You are growing, and so you have to get a new covering, and maybe not a new covering, but a stronger covering. You say, can the covering strengthen? Of course, and I don't want to jump too far ahead, but the Bible says, take up the shield of faith. Now, the Bible says that there are levels of faith, because there is faith as big as a mustard seed that can move mountains, and then there was another faith that Jesus said, I've never seen this type of faith in all of Israel, meaning that your shield can grow as you grow, meaning that last decade's covering might not be good enough for 2023, and so we grow. So those that are uncovered, number one, those that are covered by the wrong thing, number two, and finally, number three, those that are covered by the right thing. And the right thing can only be found in a relationship through Jesus Christ and standing on his word. But if you can be covered by the wrong thing, that leads us to the first point, that you have to be careful who you allow close to you. Because sometimes the enemy will use people to get close to you to uncover and expose you. You have people in your life that are God sent to provide covering for you. The Bible says this: confess your faults one to another. You better be careful who you're confessing your faults with. Because the moment that you leave their presence, they might be texting someone or picking up the phone to tell everybody your faults. But a real covering will say, if that's the fault that you've confided in me, you can trust me that I'm not going to tell anybody. But better than keep a secret, we're going to pray that the power of God would be established in your life, and the fault that you're struggling with and what you're going through now is not going to be front page news, but 6 months from today, you'll be able to testify, because of God, I was able to overcome. I was able to make it through. I was able to defeat the adversary. You've got to be careful who you allow close to you, because they will uncover you. Very quickly, Genesis chapter 20 tells us the story of Noah. This is after the flood, after God had brought them through the worldwide flood, and there was only 8 people that lived to tell this tale: Noah, his wife, his 3 sons, and his daughter-in-laws. How many of you know that sometimes when God brings you through something significant like a flood, it is still easy to forget all that God has done? Can I encourage you, no matter how big the testimony you have or as far as God has brought you from, never quit rehearsing the goodness of God and what he has done, because I found it to be true that the moment we quit testifying about what God has done, we start forgetting what God has done, and we live like God hasn't done anything for us. That's where we find Noah. Noah, a man of the soil. Man, it's a different Noah. First, we saw that Noah found favor, that Noah was a man that walked with God, but now Noah is a man of the soil. He proceeded to plant a vineyard, and when he drank some of its wine, he became drunk and lay uncovered. He was naked in his tent. Noah did not have a problem being naked behind closed doors, but what happened to Noah was, is he had people in his life that were close to him that he let in moments of privacy make public his transgression or his fault or what he was dealing with. He drank wine, became drunk, and laid naked inside his tent. His son Ham, the father of Canaan, saw his father naked, and instead of just covering his father and tucking him in for the night and making a strong pot of black coffee so that he could get over the hangover that was coming the next morning, instead of covering him and saying, you know what, Dad had a bad moment, we'll talk about this later, the Bible says he did not cover him, and he went and he told his 2 older brothers. He mocked his dad. He left his dad uncovered. And then he started telling everybody what he had seen. But I love what his brothers do. The brothers, before they walk into his room and into his tent, they get a blanket. And they get the blanket shoulder to shoulder, and they walk in backwards and cover their father. He had 2 sons out of 3 that said, you're going to have bad moments in your life, Dad, but we've got you covered. You taught us enough during the flood that we know that God is able to forgive, that God is able to see past this mistake and offer you grace and offer repentance and all of these great things. But we don't want to see you like that. We want to remember the father of faith. Come on, somebody. We want to remember the father that for 100 years built an ark when everybody was questioning what God had told him and everybody was mocking him and all of these things. That's the dad that we know. That's the dad that we want to remember. So we don't want to see you uncovered, because we've always seen a covered father. So they walk in backwards and they cover him. But shame on him for allowing the uncovered state or the naked state of their father to end like it ended for him, because he was cursed, because not only did he see him uncovered, but he was cursed because he did not do anything about him being uncovered. I want to encourage you tonight, church, If you get the wrong people around you, they will expose you. Everyone in this room, everyone watching online, has skeletons in their closet. Or has had skeletons in their closet. When you said yes to Jesus, that's called repentance, and you say, God, forgive me because I have sinned and I have made mistakes, the Bible says that God literally washes you white as snow, that you get a brand new opportunity through Jesus Christ, that you are a new creation, old things are passed away. But I'm here to tell you, there's some people that could tell you some things about Brandon and the old before Christ Brandon that would make the hair on your head curl. But that's not who I am anymore. You know the covered Brandon, and I know the covered Mario, and I know the covered Tammy, and I know the covered Bobby. I know you, that the covered version of you, and you know the covered version of me. And you say, are you hiding things? No, I'm not hiding things from you. I'm just telling you, it's under the blood. But surround yourself with people who will keep you covered no matter what. Say, how can I get covered? You want God to cover you with his blood. That's repentance. That's what happened on the cross. As believers and disciples, you want God to cover you with his spirit and his anointing. That should be a part of your daily prayer life, your daily walk with God and talk with God. God, let your spirit, let it reside in me and on me. Lord, I want to be spirit fed and spirit led. Cover yourself in God's word. To cover yourself in God's word, it can't be just quoted or read when the book's in your hand. You have to know enough of it that you can quote it, that you can declare it, that you can speak it at any point of your day and cover yourself and your situation. You can cover yourself in prayer. Parents, cover your children. Cover them with Jesus. Cover them with his spirit. Cover them with anointing. Allow a church and pastors to cover you. This happens by attending church, getting plugged in and serving at church. Ministry teams, directors, our assistant directors, cover your teams and your members in prayer. Cover them with the things of God so that when the devil tries to do something, they have something between them and the attack. Everybody in this room knows what it's like to say yes to Jesus. Most of us at least know what it's like to say yes to Jesus, but you need to find a mentor and some accountability to cover. If you said yes to Jesus in the last 2 or 3 months, you should have a strong man. If you're a man, find a strong man that's a believer and been walking with God for a decade so they can show you how to do it, what to do, what to avoid, what to start doing. Same with the ladies. And then create a circle of friends, your squad that covers you. When was the last time your homeboy laid hands and prayed for you? Oh, well, we don't have that type of relationship. That'd be weird. That's not weird. That's exactly the kind of relationship you need. You need people that at your worst moment, they don't pile on and start throwing a pity party with you, but they say, hey, God's got a plan for your life, and we're going to pray the plan into being. God's got a purpose. I don't surround myself with people that don't know how to pray. I don't surround myself with people that don't know how to get a hold of God. Get a circle of friends that can cover you. Finally, we get to Ephesians chapter 6. Finally, Paul says in this final chapter, finally, said, if you don't remember anything else, remember this, be strong. Somebody say, be strong. Be strong in the Lord. I love that. Because for me to get strong, it takes time. But his strength is always strong. God's strength, church, never takes a day off. At your worst moment, he's still the strongest he has ever been. At our weakest moment, he is still the strongest he has ever been. Finally, be strong in the Lord and in his mighty power. God's command, not a suggestion, is for us as the church to be strong, for us as believers to be strong. However, he commands us to be strong in his power and not ours. That means our strength, Living Way, does not come from people or from things. That means our strength does not come from programs and ministries. That means our strength comes from one source, and that source is Jesus Christ. That is why Wednesdays are not enough and Sundays are not enough. That is why as good as a pastor can preach or a worship team can lead, it is not about them, it is not about him, it is about Jesus Christ. Christ. And when you leave this building, your relationship has to be with him through nobody else. That means our strength doesn't come from people or things, but is spiritual and can only be obtained through Christ. 2 Corinthians 10, verses 3 and 4. And I wrote this one down late. The team doesn't have it in the media booth, but I love how the NLT says it. We are human, but we do not wage war against humans. I want to encourage those in the room today. If you're fighting flesh and blood, you're fighting the wrong battle, and you are on the wrong battlefield. You showed up ready to fight, but you're fighting the wrong enemy and you're in the wrong gym. I'm here to tell you our fight is not against flesh and blood. I know the enemy can use people, but you are attacking the symptom and not the source. Our job is not to fight the symptom. Our job is not to fight each other. It is not my job to fight the Baptist or the Pentecostals or the charismatic. My job is to fight the principalities of darkness. My job is to put a face on the giant that we are fighting. We use God's mighty weapons, not worldly weapons, to knock down strongholds of human reasoning and to destroy false arguments. Verse 11, put on the full armor of God. Put on the full armor of God so that you can stand against the devil's schemes. Full, a.k.a. all, a.k.a. total, also known as complete, also known as entire. Some believers we know are living their life every day half-dressed or half-covered. You're walking around with a shirt and no pants. Walking around with a pants and no shirt. Walking out with socks and nothing else. As silly as that seems, there are many believers that are putting on a piece of the armor, but not the whole armor. Realize this, God's promise of victory that you will be able to stand against the enemy only is guaranteed if you have the whole armor of God. Some armor, some covering is equal to no armor. Some is none. Somebody say that. Some is none. Why does God want us to be covered? So that we can stand no matter what. The reason he says, I want you to be covered with every piece of armor that I've given you is I've given you a piece of armor that will literally protect you from every device, every strategy, every plan, anything the devil can do. He said each piece of armor, when it comes together, will help you stand against everything. What does that mean for believers? The easiest way for me to break it down is there is nothing the devil can do to a believer in 2023 that God has not already made a way for you to stand against. There is nothing the devil can do to your marriage that the armor of God has not already made a way for you to defeat the adversary. There is nothing he can do in your city, on your job, in your children that God has said, if you will put on the whole armor, you will have victory. Guaranteed. Guaranteed. So what are we standing against? The devil's schemes. Satan's strategies. Here's the good news, church. Even though the adversary and the devil is looking for ways to attack you every day, he has not come up with a new plan in 2,000 years. He does the same thing over and over and over and over again. That means once you learn how to defeat him the first time, you know how to defeat him every time. Let me say that again. Once you know how to defeat the adversary the first time, now you know how to defeat him every time. He might look different. It might look like he's coming at you different. But once you find out how to defeat him, you know how to defeat him every single time. And so if you are running behind and it seems like the devil's winning, could it be that you forgot a piece of the armor? Well, we're going to, over the next two Wednesday nights, give you every piece of armor for you to put on. And once you leave this building, once you leave this place, you're not leaving the presence of God, and you're sure not leaving uncovered. You're going to know how to stand against the adversary so you can win every single time. If you want to know how the devil attacks, go back to Genesis chapter 3. The first thing the devil does is he starts a conversation with you. how the first moments of that conversation go tells the devil whether he has a place in your life or no place. Remember Paul, I believe it's in this very book in Ephesians chapter 4, says, give the devil no place. The Bible also says, resist the devil and he will flee from you. Check this out. Every piece of armor and equipment that Paul talks about in Ephesians 6, besides one piece, is a defensive weapon. How do you resist? You resist with a defensive posture. If Eve in the Garden of Eden had said, I give you no place, you cannot stay here, I resist you, then he would have had to flee. But because she let the conversation turn into a dialogue instead of a monologue, the first time the devil shows up, you don't even have to hear what he has to say. Why? Because he's the father of all liars. Everything that comes out of his mouth is a lie. Well, I got to hear him out. No, you don't. You know exactly what he's going to do. He's the father of lies, which means he's going to give you a lie. He's going to try to introduce a lie into your marriage, a lie into your money, a lie into your ministry. And if he can get that foothold, but that's why Jesus would say, Satan, the blood of Jesus is against you. Listen, get thee behind me, Satan. Resist the devil, and he will flee from you. Almost everything that Paul talks about in Ephesians is a defensive piece of armor that we can resist. Our struggle is not against flesh and blood, but against rulers and against the authorities, against the powers of this dark world, against the spiritual forces of evil in heavenly realms. Verse 12 tells you the real battle. Tells you the real battle. Our struggle, our fight is not against people. Get that out of your head. Your mother-in-law is not your enemy. Your ex-spouse is not your enemy. The church across town is not our enemy. The people that have vandalized this building over the last few years are not our enemies. It's the spirit that causes them to act out and do what they do. But I'm not going to come against a person that was created in the image of God that somehow began to have an adversary with a conversation with the adversary and took a right turn. Our struggle is not to fight against people. Our struggle is against the powers of darkness and spiritual forces of evil, which means that my hands really can't do what my mouth has been called to do. My feet can't really do what my mouth has been called to do. What does that mean? That my prayer, my worship, me quoting the word of God, that is what defeats the spiritual forces. Too many people are fighting the symptoms. We are not fighting the symptom. We are a few people that are fighting the source. You locate the source, you fight the source, you defeat the source. The devil comes to steal, kill, and destroy. That means if there's something happening in your life or in my life where we are being stolen from, killed, or destroyed, it is not the weapon that was used, it is the one that used the weapon. I'm here to tell you today that the devil wants to drag you to hell, but if he can't drag you to hell, he will steal from you, he will destroy everything that God is doing in your life. But I have come to encourage you, don't fight the symptom, fight the source. Understand that once you put the devil in his place and you evict him from your presence, his hand leaves, his mouth leaves, his presence leaves. Verse 19, therefore put on the full, there it is again, armor of God, so that when the day of evil comes, you may be able to stand. That attack is coming. It's not a matter of if, but the Bible says, but when shows up. When the enemy shows up, you better be covered in the full armor and standing. That's what the Bible says. When the day of evil comes and you are covered with the full armor of God, you will be able to stand your ground. And after you've done everything to stand, stand a little longer. What does that mean for us, church? When you're under attack, stand. When you want to quit, stand. When you want to sit, stand. When you want to lay down and give up, stand. When you feel like backsliding, stand. And while you're standing, you can worship. You can praise while you stand. You can pray, but keep standing. You can read the word, but keep standing. You can fast while you stand. You can come to church while you stand. You can serve while you stand. And for someone that's in a dark moment, you You can cry while you stand. You can hurt while you stand. You can be tired while you stand. And for those of you that have been injured, you can bleed while you stand. But no matter what, church, keep on standing. And the way that you stand is to get covered in the full armor of God. I've noticed when I'm weak, I can stand because of the God that covers me. When I want to give in, I can keep going because of the God that covers me. No matter what, church, keep on standing. Give me two more minutes. I grew up in church, VBS, Sunday school, Bible camps, youth camps, children's camps. This is a hot subject because it's so easy to teach children about the armor. And I remember we actually had the armor of God, and they let us put it on. We had our shield and our breastplate of righteousness. We had things that would go over our feet. We get that sword of the Spirit, but they wouldn't let us keep the sword too long because you know what kids do? They start hitting each other with the sword. We're like Peter, just lopping ears off. But the one thing that everybody starts talking about when we talk about the armor of God is the helmet of salvation. If you'll bring me that helmet real quick. I was going to go buy a hard hat, and I was literally looking in one of the Sunday school rooms, and I found this. I said, there's no way this kid's helmet's going to fit my big old head. It fits like a glove, y'all. Like a glove, like a glove. Put on the full armor of God. Let me get this right. Put on the full armor of God. However, if you ask most people, what's the first thing they talk about? The helmet of salvation. And don't get me wrong, I'm grateful for His saving grace in my life. And the series is called Uncovered, but you remember my working title was Naked from the Neck Down. Because some of us, all we want to talk about is I'm saved. I'm saved. I might not have the righteousness in my life, but I'm saved. I might not have the belt of truth, hey, but I'm saved. What are you talking about? The feet of peace? No, I don't need that. I'm saved. I got a big shield. No, I don't need it. I'm saved. And we leave every week from a house that is saying, hey, God wants to do more. God wants to work in your life. God wants to work in your heart. God wants to work in your entire being, all that you are. But we walk away saying, well, I'm saved. And let me tell you something. I believe that your salvation is going to get you to heaven. But I also know this, church, that there's a lot of living left to do. And your salvation does not scare the adversary. What scares the adversary is when you show up and you are armored from head to toe. What scares the adversary is when you show up with a shield of faith and the sword of the Spirit. What scares the adversary is not that you're saved, but your goal now is I am covered in head to toe. I am armored up, but I am waging war on the enemy. I'm going to drag as many people out of hell and into heaven that I can. Cancer can't stop me. All the things of this world can't stop me. All the depression can't stop. Why? Because I'm not just walking around with a helmet of salvation. I want to be covered. I want to be covered. Why are you here on a Wednesday night? Because you want to be covered. Because you could have just as easily said, I'm saved. I'll hit him next Wednesday. I'll hit him next Sunday. But you're saying, no, I want my armor to be made stronger. I want to make sure that the breastplate fits me right. I want to make sure that the peace on my feet is not just tied to Living Way, but it's a piece that travels with me. I want to make sure that my shoes fit. Come on, somebody. If you've ever wore wrong shoes for long enough, blisters, and they don't fit right, and it affects the way you walk. Some of us, our walk is not right because we don't have the peace on our feet. Somebody say amen. There are some of us that we don't have the shield of faith. And so we always talk about being saved, but we are living in poverty. Some of us don't have truth, so we don't know how to witness to our loved ones. But we're saved. Your salvation doesn't do anything for anybody else but you. But when I put on the armor, it announces to the adversary, I'm ready to fight. I'm ready to stand. I'm ready to win. It announces to the adversary, I've been talking to God, and God's been talking to me. I want everybody to stand up in this room today. I want everybody to look at your own life right now. Don't look at anyone else. Don't think about anyone else. I'm going to promise you, while I've been preparing and studying and praying, there's been some things that God has really prodded me on personally to say, hey, we need to shore up this place. And hey, you need to make sure that that piece of armor fits a little better. And that armor needs to grow. You need to move up to that next size and that next strength. And some of those questions we ask God, why? God said, because I got a battle that the armor you're wearing today is not going to be good enough for. And so I need you over the next 6 months to make sure that you're fitted right and you've got the right strength. Why? Because of where I'm taking you and what I've called you to do. Remember this, God doesn't prepare you for the battle you're in. He's prepared you for the battle he's taking you into. And you need to get the Spirit of God and the covering of God right on February 1st so that when you step into March and April and May and you step into 2024, you're covered.